action. Alright, this is the real first take.
No, right? Is
do
it?
The.
Okay, you this is.
You can
take
this.
Action. Take three. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the MSA Take 2025, where you're joined with Heyman and Hiba. And today we'll be talking about the Muslim identity and success, inshallah. Behind the camera, we have Zainab joined with us, and this is her wave.
Hi guys!
But yeah, just to begin, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So, let's begin.
Hiba, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word success?
Hey man, I think of kind of grades or academics. If you were just to ask me, like, what's my first thought? Maybe even money. What about you?
Well, I feel like unless we add something else to the question, my brain, like, jumps to very dunya-related things as well. Right now it's midterms week, so it is just academics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, work, academics, and then very dunya-related things.
Yeah.
And we actually asked some of you guys to share with us what you guys first thought of when you heard the word success. And we're going to share some of your responses. I'll let Hiba do that.
All right, so here we have money. For many of us at this age, very dunya-focused. So once again, that center around the dunya. Contentment, happiness. We see Jannah here and there. But overall, kind of the similar idea to what we were going for.
Yeah. So some of you guys had some really, really interesting ones as well. You had ideas of contentment and happiness. And alongside that, a lot of like deen-related ideas had salah, living with tawakkul, and obviously the true success, ending up in Jannah. But one of the things we wanted to talk about today especially was how when we think of the word success, we jump to very dunya-related things because those are very easily achievable and observable metrics. You know, things like financial freedom, academics, your career, those are successes that you can easily define and are very easily defined in our world as well. But why do we think that way?
Honestly, I feel like it's what you were saying about observable metrics, because if you see someone getting good grades, then you see those grades lead to, say, for example, a good uni degree, considered uni degree. And then that leads to a good job, and then that leads to financial freedom. I think it's really easy to see someone else achieve that and then, you know, get a material gain, but then also you can put them on a pedestal and then have like a tangible role model. So I would say that's like probably why my idea of success is linked to that. But at the same time, it could be damaging to a person that's been put on a pedestal, I feel. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Damaging in the sense that they are on that pedestal and they might not feel worthy of it, or damaging in the sense for the person putting them up on that pedestal?
I think both, because like everyone says, comparison is the thief of joy. So it's damaging for a person to compare themselves to someone else that they would regard as like higher in success to them. But also for someone who's been pushed in that position, they might feel that there's like this expectation that they need to carry, that like, oh, I've been pushed in this position, how do I maintain it? And then maintaining that level of success can come at the cost of like mental health, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like that myth where just because someone is doing well in dunya-related concepts, does that necessarily mean that they're doing well for themselves and mentally? Do you want to kind of...
I think just on that, it's also the notion of what academic success... Well, I'm going to switch tracks and like focus a bit on academic success just because it's so relevant to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be very, very clear definitions of what it means to do well. You know, you have people out here with like HD whams, not me. you've got people doing insane combinations of degrees, doing really well in their courses. You also have people who you're like, you just understand things without having to put in maybe like the same time and effort as you might view yourself putting in, regardless of how like accurately you're perceiving that person and their efforts. But I also think it's really, really dangerous to define even academic success with such strict criteria, because our education system is geared in a very specific way and it caters to a very specific kind of learning, and that's not very suitable for everyone. And to end up linking your self-worth and your academic success is incredibly dangerous. But yeah, thoughts?
Yeah, actually, it was crazy because one time in year 11, which is a while back, right? But it's just like this older student asked me, like, does your happiness come and go when your grades get good versus bad? And then at the moment, it's just like, it sounds like such a...
I feel like knee-jerk reaction. She's like, of course
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I was just like, no. But then when I really thought about it, I was like, actually, like, just subconsciously, depending on your environment, I think it's really easy to link your emotions to how you're doing in your grades. And like that grade is just like obviously a mark. It's not really a reflection of who you are, your capabilities, especially because I feel like with schooling and uni, like you were saying, they're all built to like only cater to a certain group of people, right? Mm. And if you fall out of that, it's like you might just think like, oh, do you belong in this? Like kind of metric, and like then you can just be like, am I successful, am I not?
Mm-hmm.
It's like quite, yeah.
And then with this idea of like failure, and if you're not like meeting those categories that you've sort of set for yourself, or that like society has sort of set for you, what do you think of that failure, or like perceived failure?
Sorry, could you repeat it?
With regards to, like, if you're not meeting that success criteria, mm-hmm. or, like, that society set criteria.
Yeah.
I mean, like, asking you personally.
Yeah.
Say you, like, failed an exam or you failed something. What do you think your reaction would be? Or, like, in terms of how that relates to how you feel?
Oh, like, me now is different to who I was in high school. But definitely if I was thinking through a high school lens, like, more dunya related, it's like, I feel like it's mentally damaging, if anything. No one's going to notice from outside that, like, oh, someone who's, like, going through this, whatever, like, success, who's used to success, is going to go through, like, that stage in failure. And it feels quite alone as well, I feel. Mm-hmm. And because society puts this front, like, oh, being successful is what you want to achieve, it's also, like, you can't really discuss failure mm-hmm. as naturally. And I would, yeah, like, that's probably my take on it.
I also think, I'm just going to add to that, because
yeah.
I think it's, like, very, very similar from my end, but also it kind of links back to what we were talking earlier about pedestals.
Mm.
And one of the reasons that I feel like we feel that way is because we've been, like, grown up, raised around this idea of academic success as a sure path to, you know, good career, good life, this and that. But that success, or like that idea of success, is very catered to very specific experiences
yeah.
that a lot of like our parents' generations have lived through, and then very much like a standard within society. Mm-hmm. So as we're sort of moving and like through the world, and we're like learning about how we handle things and how we've found ourselves in these places, or not in these places, because sometimes your like reaction to people trying to put you on a pedestal or hold you up to these standards of like any sort of success, but academic success in particular, mm-hmm. is to like do the complete opposite, do nothing, sort of like passively quiet quit
yeah.
that effort and just try and get by.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that is in response to like we keep referring to this like criteria set.
Yeah.
So how much of that criteria, or like how much of your own personal criteria, do you think is set by society and other people?
I would say culture plays a really big role, especially when it comes to dunya-related measures of success. Because well, at least for me and my community, a lot of our parents came through that pathway where it's like they got good grades from the country that they're in, and they used that those grades and their degrees to get a job here. And then that's like a means of security. And it's not a wrong way of thinking, because at the end of the day, like, you have to support a family, et cetera, right? But I think that's what's been instilled in a lot of us, where it's like you have to follow the same pathway to reach a level of security. And that's what success is defined to be. So, like, I would say...
You know what? Like, just to add to that, it's not wrong.
Yeah, it's not.
Doing well academically can open so many doors for you, so many opportunities and, like, options.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us living here don't realize that, because it's so easily accessible to us. Even in terms of, like, for domestic students, the fees we pay are nothing.
Insanely low.
Nothing compared to what international students are paying, which is, like, daylight robbery. But also in terms of, like, the degree options we have, in terms of the facilities that are available to us at uni, the fact that we're able to sit here podcast room, we're talking about this, we are able to put so much effort into, like, even with the MSA or, like, other societies, is all very much a privilege that we're afforded because of that academic success.
So it's not to say, like, grades don't matter.
And it's more to, like, if you think about where your parents are coming from with this, for a lot of them, academic success was the only route, the only way to get these opportunities. And it's very easy for us to sit here and say, oh, you know, it is, like, we have all these opportunities, or, you know, it's so hard being put up to these standards. But for them to see us do well feels like the reward they get, like their payoff for that effort.
For the, and the sacrifice that they
Put
here in the first place.
Immense amount of sacrifice. And even for, like international students, or, like, people who move here for study, it's a huge effort. And just because, you know, you factor that success into part of who you are or part of how you want to, like, view the world, that doesn't make you wrong.
And if that is your viewpoint, like, by no means are we saying that's, like, incorrect or anything. But yeah, I do think, though, like, community, culture, that weighs into your kind of innate understanding of success. And then definitely as you venture through uni yourself, you can walk back to your experience.
I think you touched on this earlier, but you were, like, saying year 11 Hibbo would have thought this is. How has that sort of changed?
I think after, okay, so first of all, I went to a high school with, like, I was the one Muslim girl in my grade, and it was a very academically driven school. So you can already imagine, like, where my mindset laid. But I guess, like, going in through uni, I'm able to, like, develop a much more, like, God-conscious mindset, like, you know, having tawakkul and et cetera, in my journey. So now I feel like success to me is more tailored towards that, like, as opposed to, oh, did I get a 90 in my exam? It's not like that anymore. It's more like, oh, even if I got a 55 or, like, a 40, whatever the case is, right? It was for a reason. Like, there was something I had to learn out of that. And I think that's, like, been a very major mindset change since I was in year 11 and year 12. Have you had any, like, journey?
Not exactly in that sense, but I do think back in high school, I was sort of in a similar position, but it was very much about me needing all of the effort, like, needing to be able to put in 100% of my effort into every single thing, which was not sustainable. And midway through the HSC, that did backfire on me. But I'm in a much better place now. I think the biggest sort of takeaway, or, like, the thing I learned from that, was that if you're doing something, or if you're making something, or if you're writing something, or if you're saying something, if as long as it exists, and as long as your intentions behind it are decent and you're putting in the work, the way that matter plays out is not in your hands.
that's exactly something I never got used to. Like, I was, it was not like self-blame, but it was like always like gunning to do like, get good grades. Like, basically, like, that was the only mindset that I had, which is so.
I think I, like, someone said this to me, and to this day, it's like my biggest takeaway. And it was, not every single day are you able to give your 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Some days you might only have the capacity to give 80%. And if you're giving that 80%, that is still 100% of your effort.
Yeah.
And I think that made me sort of realize that I could draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
I could step back from things. I don't need to be 100% like trying to push through that capacity and provide more than what my cup is holding.
So currently, are you implementing this?
I'm trying. I'm trying.
No, I'm proud.
It's a journey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I also think, again, like with this whole academic career, like it's setting you up for a very particular way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel at times, especially for us culturally, it's a little bit hypocritical, the amount of focus that goes into academics. And then when you get to a certain age, it like totally flips on its head.
The focus is like a whole new topic that kind of was refrained from talking about.
And then it comes suddenly becomes so out of nowhere.
Yeah. Cardigan.
Okay. What I was saying was, in regards to like, by the time you're graduating university and you want like to focus on your career, if you want to be building that, developing that, there's often no balance in the way people have conversations about this, because it's like a push towards, oh, study well, do well, get a good job. And once you're like nearing that sort of goal or like that line of achievement shifts, and then it's like, oh, like if you do this, you won't have time for your family, you won't have time for this, you won't have time for that. And it seems so, so insanely hypocritical, and I don't know if this is the right word, but it's like the playing field is constantly altering, and you can build up these ideas of who you are as a person and what things you value as a person and, you know, your goals. And the moment you get close to those goals, you just get like a whole new set of things shoved onto your plate.
And it's like, this whole time I thought I was meant to be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly people springboard this onto you.
Yeah.
And like, it's confusing. Like, how do you manage after like 20 years of living something that you've shaped your identity around? And now you just kind of have to push that to the side, look at something new.
And, you know, like, especially for us culturally, it's like a really common thing to be like, hi, my brother, get out of here. Or like, she's going to study so much. What's she going to do with that?
Yeah.
Which is not the nicest translation, but I'm sure you get the gist of it.
I've heard that sentence, though.
I've heard it so many times. I think one of the most difficult things about, like, when I'm visiting family is hearing that.
Yeah.
And then is trying to, like, alternately, like, trying to explain what I do at uni and then getting hit with, like, what are you even going to do with that?
That, yeah.
As if I don't
have... It's, like, something you put so much effort into as well. Yeah. Like, you go...
Like, your degree is, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
Mine's 5. It's, and with our trimesters, it's like such, oh, you don't have trimesters. I'm not going to rant about trimesters, but uni in general takes so much effort.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to like live up to whatever idea you have set for yourself, it feels so, so diminishing to have that cut down and be reduced to like, this isn't actually going to be useful to you later on. And you know what? Now that we're getting back on topic, that carries over into how women are treated in the workforce as well.
Yeah.
With like, you know, if you've ever like had someone leave like maternity leave and come back and like seen their adjustment, it's not.
Also, I've heard like this was from someone else. But, like, they were just like, oh, I don't really like hiring women because they end up having to go on maternity leave anyways. Like, hearing that is so sad.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I get that there's laws and stuff in place to reduce this, but it doesn't really do that much.
It's quite structural, like, but, yeah.
But, like, again, we're not bashing on certain ways of living here. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of contentment and a lot of, like, quote-unquote success to be found in, you know, your family and that focus of living.
Oh,
what we're saying is we're built, like, the way we're raised on this, like, idea of success, and we're told to develop and think about these things and these criteria or, like, our goals. And then when we are close to getting to those goals, suddenly those things aren't seen as worthy anymore. And that seems really, really diminishing. But, yeah.
On the flip side, like, kind of like the opposite, it's like I've heard girls talk about, like, some people who don't really care too much about academics, but they rather, you know, pursue a family. And then people tell them, like, oh, you can't just, like...
There's no winning, man.
You can't have that mindset. No, like, you need to live your own life, like, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the Western perspective is that, like, as a woman, your success is tied to that as well. Like, there's mm-hmm. a cultural mindset that comes in, and there's also, like, the Western perspective. So it's like in this society where we have to, like, kind of cater for both, it's really hard.
Yeah, and of course, like, easiest thing to do is, like, you're like, oh, move forward with a balance. Mm-hmm. I'm just making you hold this, aren't I? She's just alternating.
I think,
guys, I've gotten 3 emails today where the person I'm emailing has misspelt my name so badly.
Did they forget the H? Oh. Where you're joined with He-Man and Hippa. How do you even get to that point?
I don't know. I got another one where they swapped the M and the N.
So
yeah. No, it was sent to the MSA email as well. Yeah.
There.
Thanks. Okay, back to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
There's no way to win as a woman.
Unless you take the Islamic approach.
Which is?
Well, we'll discuss that in a bit. But in general, like, how would you say navigating these notions of success
mm-hmm.
as a Muslim? Because a lot, like, all of this is given to us by Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, whoever's watching this, we have the privilege to go to, like, most of us that you're watching it, we're in UNSW, right? So going to UNSW, but any uni in Australia in general, is a privilege. Basically, there is no win. There's, like, either that Western mindset of achieving success, or there's that cultural mindset of achieving success. But if you go through the Islamic mindset, that's where the win is.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us what you mean by that?
Of course. So a lot of us, actually all of us that are watching, we play into that category of being able to go to uni in this country. So no matter what uni you go to, you have that privilege. And that privilege isn't something that most of us earned. It was something that we were born into. So as part of our journey to success, one of the things, or the main thing that we should focus on, is using that privilege in a way that's pleasing to Allah. And
because we've done nothing to earn this.
Yeah.
Right? It's an amana and it's a test.
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility to make the best of it and to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, once again, using that to please Allah, but also to serve the Ummah. So how can you, for example, if you're academically thriving, how can you use that to benefit others around you or benefit you in your journey Islamically? Or if you've been given a lot of wealth, right? Like, so all of us have that over people worldwide. So part of our journey to getting success and navigating success as a Muslim, I would say, like, the biggest thing is to focus on that. Like,
I also, like, in the sense of, like, pedestals, like we were talking about earlier, we're all on some level of a pedestal, and to some extent, actually, it is our responsibility to raise the floor so that we're not all on this pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, to raise up everyone alongside you.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, if I was just to talk about my own personal story, like, I have cousins overseas that, you know, plan to go to uni, but the journey after uni is just, like, a dead end because of the situation that they're in. And no matter where I would have been, the fact that I'm in Australia to them is like amazing. Like it's something that I don't consciously, like I wouldn't have consciously thought about. But when you really think about most of the population worldwide, like you are on a pedestal that you have like a responsibility to fulfill mm-hmm. from that. So giving back to the less fortunate in terms of like whatever you've been given.
Because a lot of those barriers are things that we don't recognize ourselves.
Yeah.
You can come, like the amount of strife it takes to get here to study, to be able to complete your degree. Once you've completed your degree, to be able to get proper working rights and actually work here, visa sponsorships. And then, you know, when you go into like the PR and citizenship process, it's incredibly time consuming. It's incredibly difficult and it's incredibly mentally draining because every step of the way you're like, if I fall off this route, what am I going back to?
Mm-hmm. Like you're kind of progressing with all that without a proper safety net underneath.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, this is your safety net.
This is the safety net. But like that's then again, that those are people who still have the opportunity to study internationally, mm-hmm. right? So many people don't even like think about education. Actually, I was talking when I went back overseas, I was talking to a girl and she was like, oh, most of us don't even think about education past year 10,
mm-hmm.
for example. So for us, like finishing year 10, we honestly take school with like, we act like it's the biggest burden in the world.
Like that's, you know how we were talking earlier about like, we've been raised to view certain things as achievable goals. That's not even an option.
That's not even an option. That's not even a goal. Like, it's just like, yeah, we're going to get through high school, like, inshallah. But
for those of us who are in this position, make the best of what you have been blessed with.
Mm.
Sincerely, like, when you're thinking about uni, put some thought, put some, like, well-thought intention and, you know, set a goal for yourself with what you're doing. I'm going to talk about my personal, like, goal. Be warned that, like, you don't have to be in the same position as me when I talk about this. Your goal doesn't have to be the same level as mine is. But I'm studying mechatronics and biomed, right? And what I really want to do with that is I want to be able to make or, like, develop some sort of robotic technology that helps surgeons in developing nations who might not be as well trained to provide a certain level of care in those countries. Now, again, like, you don't have to have something of that vision. Like, I don't even know if I'll end up doing that. But that is something that I want to work towards and, you know, inshallah, get there someday. But even if it's a smaller goal you have, even if it is just to make your community a bit more hospitable to the Muslim Ummah, if it's to provide, you know, a center or some sort of resource for your community with the knowledge that you're gaining, that will put so much barakah into your education, into what you're learning, and into like the type of effort that you're putting in as well, because you have something else in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess kind of just building off that and tying in what we were saying before, how like a lot of us don't realize that this is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really make the intention, first of all, like to correct your Nia when it comes to all of these activities, so remember that it's all granted to you from Allah and it can also be taken away from Allah, so remember that as you take each step forward, and whatever you're studying right now, like just remember that you should ideally eventually use that to benefit other people, and in whatever case that is, like it could be really small, it could be really big, you don't have to make a grand gesture.
And you know, since we're talking about success, that is a form of success.
Like, that is success,
that you're able to be a pathway for someone else to be able to do something, mm-hmm. or that you're able to contribute in a way where you know, like if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that,
mm-hmm.
that is a form of success in and of itself.
Yeah. And I think like changing or kind of detaching from whatever cultural success notion that you've been put into, mm-hmm. or like Western mindset that you've been shoved into, and focusing more on these tiny gestures, because Islam's not meant to be hard, but making sure that you use that to rewrite your notion of success,
because you know your actions are judged by your intentions. Yes,
exactly. And there's a hadith on that as well, but ultimately, we've been told about the same pathway of like grades, job, retirement, the end. But like historically, like STEM has been so much more than just that. Like
getting yeah, we used to be at the forefront of innovation. Where are we at now?
So like for example,
take us through it.
Okay, we have a list.
Yeah. Hiba has very kindly brought up some very, very amazing people.
Yeah.
I'll let you take it. Bye.
So for example, like Fatima Al-Fihri, like she was the first who ever founded a university ever. Like when we compare that to the checkbox list that we want to fill out, it's quite bland.
We have the father of modern algebra. I don't remember his name. Do we have it?
Okay, I don't want to pronounce that.
Khwarizmi,
yeah.
That's who everyone blamed when we learned about this in high school. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, he was like Muslim, and everyone just turned to look at me.
Okay, but we complain about doing algebra. Imagine inventing algebra.
Right. Who else?
Al-Zahrawi.
Yeah.
And this is relevant to you.
To me, yeah. Revolutionized surgery. Pretty much invented the surgical tools that we use today.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Ibn Khaldun, one of the first sociologists and historians who wrote about civilizations rising and falling.
Takeaway is that Muslims throughout time have been leading these things. And we are in a position that we can build up to doing that. And there's no reason why we shouldn't.
Yeah. And even if you don't have like these grand ideas, it's just what we're trying to get at is that in society, we're kind of forced to follow a checkbox. But you don't have to do that.
But even if you are following that checkbox, you can use that to build for like ideas of better success, right? Mm-hmm. You can use those checkboxes, intention them properly, and use that to be successful both in like deen and dunya. Those two ideas aren't like separate from each other.
As Iman was saying, deen and dunya aren't mutually exclusive sets.
So even if you are following along like that checkbox of success or like quote unquote success, you can still use that to benefit yourself both in this world and in the next, where, you know, obviously true success is in that world,
mm-hmm.
but everything you do here obviously is linked to that. So
I was just going to say, it kind of draws into what we were saying before. Like if you follow that checkbox and you find success in the dunya, your goal is then to use that power, like that privilege or that position, to help other Muslims achieve the same success. Because to say that you can live with no, like say no financial freedom, for example, right? Like if you don't look towards money, that's also unrealistic. Like you do need some sort of like backing in that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you follow that checkbox, you end up becoming successful in that way. How can you use that to better the ummah and better your own goal?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like
Islam is constantly pushing you towards excellence.
Mm-hmm. Like the first verse that was ever revealed was read in the name of your Lord who created, etc.
So, and yeah. You know, considering that's like so much of what we do, both like knowledge in terms of our academics, but also in terms of how we view the world, how much of Islam we understand,
mm-hmm.
how much of, you know, the things you do, you understand why you do,
mm-hmm.
an appreciation for, you know, the worship that you do, for the understanding of history that you have,
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Yeah. And then, like in a hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. So not just seeking, you know, worldly knowledge, obviously also Islamic knowledge. If you're like given the opportunity to learn other things, you're also given the opportunity so easily to delve into Islamic related things.
And given that like how much of our daily lives are surrounded or like centered around ibadah, we should really know why we're doing it, what we're doing, and actually have a solid spiritual base to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as a sort of like a takeaway, everything that you're doing or everything that you're working towards, whether or not that's like the societal expectation of success, or whether or not you've defined some other variation of success for yourself, we're all working towards success in the next life. And to do that, you really want to make sure that everything you're doing in this world has that niya behind it, that intention behind it, and take from that and implement those things into your life.
Mm. A good way to do that is to, like, obviously, like, implement taqwa. So, like, be conscious that God is always watching. And, like, a good way to do that is, like, in every action that you take, think, is this something that's pleasing to Allah? And then I feel like that automatically, like, it helps guide you so much better. And that's, like, in really small things as well. Like, how you interact with people. Okay, that was one example. But just how you move around in the world. Like, all of that should be structured about one being, and that is
cool. And, you know, like, if you take anything away from all the time that we've spent yapping today, it's that it's your responsibility to do your part with what you've been given. Mm-hmm. Do your best with what you've been given. And then the rest, have tawakkul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will handle it and will grant you whatever is best for you.
So, yeah, like, have intention. I think intention was the one thing we wanted to focus on. No matter how mundane something feels, I think if you correct your intention from the beginning, it will feel more worth it to do that action.
Like, you can say it's not that deep, but you can always also bring a shovel and dig.
Yeah. Oh, good. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think that is all from me. Do you want to do the closing dua?
Alright, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa al-Asr, inna l-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amilu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.